Ananias and Sapphira. Let me give you just a little bit of background here in the book of Acts. I'm trying to get you familiar with the book of Acts and all kinds of other books in the Bible, Exodus, Job, and then the book of Acts also. So in our text today, story that we're going to read about, it's only been a couple of months, possibly, I'm not sure, since the crucifixion of Jesus, and possibly only days or weeks since the apostles had seen Jesus ascend into heaven under his own power. And there's a couple in the church that we'll read about here in a little bit. Their name is Ananias and Sapphira. They're in the church there at Jerusalem. And they are saved people. They're disciples. They're with the disciples. There is no indication that they are not saved people. You might add, you might wonder, well, surely saved people couldn't do these things. Well, yes, they can. Yes, they can. They can do all kinds of things. They have been with the disciples and the apostles, and they have seen great things. They saw the man healed in Acts chapter number 3. They were filled. They were filled. I mean, Ananias and Sapphira, the two people that did what we're going to read about today, they were filled with the Spirit. The Bible says in Acts 4 and verse number 31, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. That is these two people that we're going to read about here this morning. At the end of chapter number 4, the people of the church are selling their houses and their property, and they are distributing the money among the church people to those who have need. Look in your Bibles to verse number 32. Acts chapter 4 and verse 32, it says, "And the multitude of them that believed," see, this is the church people, this is the church members, "the multitude of them that believed," there are thousands of people now, "they were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all." Look in verse number 34. "Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas," which is being interpreted "the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." So that's what's going on there. They are distributing the money. They sell their property and they're giving all to the church people there, to those who have need. And we'll go on down in chapter number 5 here. Let me pray. Father, we come to thy throne of grace, and we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and kindness toward us. Father, we thank you for the privilege to assemble together. I pray that the Spirit of God would help us today and be our teacher and direct our thoughts. May the Spirit of God help me and bless your people today. I pray, God, help us to be built up in the faith and edified. We pray and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. What I ought to pray... is God, I'm glad that you did not do to me what you did to Ananias and Sapphira every time I did something wrong. You might want to think that whenever you read. You may be familiar with this portion of Scripture, and you may not, but look in your Bible in verse number 1 of chapter number 5. It says, "But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession." So here's a husband and a wife in the church at Jerusalem, Ananias and Sapphira. That's the only time that they're found in the Bible, as I said before. And they saw back up there in verse number 36 and verse number 37, they saw what this man, Barnabas, we'll call him Brother Barnabas, they saw what Brother Barnabas had done. Brother Barnabas, he sold some land, and he said, I'm going to give all the money to the church to help the church here. They have no building. As a matter of fact, there are not any church buildings in the New Testament, in the Bible. But they're meeting somewhere in the temple, a place called Solomon's Porch. They're meeting there. And they saw that Barnabas had sold land. He's going to give all his money to the church. He brought the money. The Bible says he brought it down. He's wherever Peter was, where they were at, and he laid it at the apostles' feet. And they saw Barnabas, and they saw his unselfish act, and they saw possibly that it got him a lot of notoriety whenever he brought the money down. He's giving all this money, ever how much it was. And by the way, Barnabas is what you call a Levite. He's a Levite in the Bible. Back over in the book of Joshua, the Levites, they were not given land. They did not inherit any land. But somehow Barnabas is a Levite. Maybe things have gotten kind of lax now. And Barnabas has some land, and he sold that land. And he got the money, and he gave it to the church there, and he brought it down and put it there. Everybody saw him, and he gave him a certain reputation. He gave him a certain reputation, a notoriety and all that, and they wanted that too. But the thing is, in order for them to get that notoriety, they planned to do it by deception. They were not going to do what Barnabas did. They planned to do it by deception. So they're going to sell a possession, and they evidently, when they sold it, they promised to give it all. They promised to give it all, but they're not going to do that. So it says, verse number 1, a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira's wife sold a possession. They kept back part of the price. See, there's the problem. Part of the price. And his wife also being privy to it, or privy, whichever way you want to say it, privy. That is, there's a secret thing between the two. Privy to it. And they brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet, see. So it was secret between them. They planned this out, and they brought a certain part. Part of the price, they laid it at the apostles' feet. It was a planned deception, and his wife and him, they took part, and it was secret between the two there. So it says in verse number 3, but Peter said, Ananias, I imagine Peter's up preaching. Ananias, he comes in. Ananias comes up there, and he stands there. Whether or not they had pews or not, I don't know. They may have had a porch over them, but it wasn't a building made for a church. But Peter pointed out Ananias, and he said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? So here's Ananias standing here, and instead of being filled with the Holy Ghost, the Bible says there, Peter asked him, he said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart? Why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land, you see? So now then, he is allowing Satan to run his life instead of God. I've heard this said many times by people. A Christian can't be possessed by the devil. Well, I'll tell you what, whether or not he can be possessed with the devil, I'll tell you one thing, the devil can get everything that you have except one thing. He cannot get your soul, but he can get everything else. Right here, these people, the Bible says, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Instead of letting God run their life, Satan is now running their life, you see. Amen. He's running their life, and they now keep back part of the price of the land. They planned this out. They planned this out. They said, Ananias and Sapphira, they got together, and they said, we can use this money for this, and we can use this money for that. They didn't have to do anything. They didn't have to give all the money. But see, they opened their mouth, and they said what they would do. They made a promise. And God heard them. They didn't have to make that promise. They didn't have to say, we'll give 100% of it. Didn't have to do that. They could have said, we'll give 50% of it. They could have done that, but no, they said something, and God took note of what they said. God took note of what they said. A lot of times people don't think that God hears what they say, nor does God care what they say. God heard what they said, and God took them at their word. Peter pointed them out, and he said, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Let's stop again here. People hold out on God all the time. People can do all kinds of things for God, but they just sit there. They won't do it. They'll just sit there. They won't do anything. See, they're not going to do anything. God maybe God pokes them in the ribs and say, you ought to be doing this or you ought to be doing that. No, we don't want to. They make excuses for not doing what they can do. You see, people can sing. People can visit. People can encourage other people. But what do? They sit back and let somebody else do it. They make excuses for not doing what they could do. The offering plate comes around. They keep back part, or they keep back all of it. They make excuses. Well, God, you know, I've got to have that money for this. They've got every electronic gadget on earth in their house. They've got two or three cars. But when it comes time for giving, God, we can't do that, see. These people didn't have to give anything. But they said what they said, and God heard what they said, and God took them at their word. Peter pointed them out. We don't do that anymore. God doesn't kill people anymore. Well, I shouldn't say that. At least most of them don't drop dead in a church service, you see. They didn't have to give anything, but they said something. And God took them at their word. Why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price? Verse number 2, they kept back part of the price. People keep back things all the time. They can do things, but they keep back. They keep back their talents. They keep back all kinds of things. They just want to sit there. They want to sit there. Somebody else will do it. Somebody else will do it. I don't have time to do it. I don't want to get up. I don't want to make myself. I don't want to practice. I don't want to practice in the choir. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. They hold back on God. They could do something. Everybody can do something. But no, we want to sit and watch. We just want to sit and watch and you do it. Or somebody else will do it. Somebody else will do it. Sure is quiet. Verse number 4 says, while it remained, was it not thine own? In other words, it's yours. You can do whatever you want to with it. That's what Peter's saying. He said, while it remained, was it not thine own? Did you know that God is for ownership of private property? If it's yours, you can do whatever you want to with it. God's not going to force anybody to do anything. He's not going to force you to open up your billfold. He's not going to force you to sell anything. It all has to be done out of love. While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? In other words, after it was sold and you got the money, you could do anything that you wanted to, but you said something. You said something. You made a promise. Sort of like faith promise, you know. Was it not thine own? Was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? I mean, it wasn't just something that came up on the spur of the moment, but it was conceived in the heart of these people. They planned to do what they're going to do. They planned it all out. This is what we'll do, but we're going to say one thing and we're going to do another thing. That's the problem. That's the problem. The amount of money had nothing to do with it. But they said one thing because they wanted people to see them as some great spiritual Christians. We're bearing our cross. They wanted people to think that of them. They wanted to have a reputation as being spiritual, sacrificial Christians. They wanted that reputation. But when it came time to do what they said to the people they would do, they kept back part of the price. They didn't have to do that. They didn't have to promise they'll give 100%. We'll give 25%. We'll give 10%. We're going to keep it all. They could have done that. It's yours. You can do what you want to with your life. But what are you going to do? Are you going to keep back part of your life? Are you going to keep back 9/10 of it? What are you going to hold back on God? What are you going to hold out on God? You see? What are you holding out on God? They kept back part of it. When they could have given, they could have done what they said. God took note of what they said, and God held them to their word. What if God held you to everything that you said? I'd be dead. I'd been dead 100 times over. Thank God He doesn't do that. Every time I come down here, we come down here and pray, I say, God, thank you that you don't give us what we deserve. God, thank you that you didn't give me what I deserve. God, when I deserved death, you gave me life. You see? Verse number 5. Oh, let's back up to verse 4. While it remained, was it not thine own? See, it's all yours. After it was sold, was it not in thine own power? You have the power to do whatever you want to. Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. Ananias, he's standing there. Great big lump comes up in his throat. He's standing there. What am I going to say? What am I going to say? Starts to say something. He can't get it out. Peter's standing up there. He said, you've not lied to men, but you lied to God. Ananias is wondering what he's going to say, and all of a sudden everything gets dark. He falls down dead. Dead on the floor. Verse number 5, and Ananias, hearing these words, fell down. And he gave up the ghost. You know what your ghost is? That's your spirit. He gave up the ghost. His spirit left his body. It's all gone. He's dead. His breath left his body out. And his soul left out of his body too. And his body falls down flat on the floor. Right there in front of everybody. There's a few thousand people looking on. They heard everything that is said. They heard everything that he said. They know Ananias and Sapphira. They're shocked. No, not Ananias and Sapphira. These are good people. But they wanted that reputation. Some young men from the congregation come in. They've got some sheets maybe or something like that. Verse number 5 again. Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. Oh, yeah. Great fear. That's one of the big problems of our day. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Here's a problem. Here's a problem. I'll turn over. I can't quote it. So I'll turn back over here to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, I believe. I don't have it written down. I do somewhere, but I don't want to try to find it. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse number 11. I've got it. Just let me read it for you. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse number 7. Here's what Solomon said. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. In other words, because God doesn't always do what he did right here. In a speedy manner. He does not execute judgment always in a speedy manner. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the hearts of the sons of men, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. So in other words, because people don't always drop dead like Ananias did right here, whenever they do something wrong, they think that God doesn't know and God doesn't hear and God doesn't care. God doesn't care, and so what do? Well, we can just go right on. We can go right on and we can keep it up, you see. Verse number 6 says, and the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. Man, I wonder what they did. Did everybody gather around and say, oh, call the medics, call the ambulance. We've got a man's fainted here. Get some help. Undo his tie. Get some help here. Man's fainted. No, he ain't fainted. He's dead. He's dead. He's dead on the floor. Everybody's, instead of gathering around, they probably back up. Wow. Whoa. Wow. What's happened here? Peter goes over and says, like this, you know, or like this or somewhere. He's dead. He calls out here, Peyton, you boys, y'all come on over here. Wrap him up. They get some stuff and they wrap him up, roll him up in some, you can pick him up, just a couple on this and a couple on that end. Y'all get some shovels on the way out. They don't have a funeral. There's no funeral recorded there. You know what people think today? Some of y'all might be thinking this. Why? God has no business doing stuff like that. Why, God, he can't just take people's life like that. Who does he think he is? Does he think he's God or something? That's right, that's who he is. He's God. Why, that's not fair. That's what people think. I'll guarantee if you went to a college campus and preached this right here, it'd run you out of there. We don't want no God like that. Yeah, he's God. I got another verse of Scripture. Another verse of Scripture that we just read in Job. Job chapter 9 and verse number 12. Job chapter 9 and verse number 12. You folks that don't come to Sunday school, you don't know this. See, come to Sunday school and you'll learn something. Job chapter 9 and verse number 12. Here's Job. Here's Job talking about God. And he says, verse number 12, behold, he taketh away. Yeah, God sometimes takes away things, and that's what happened here to Ananias. Behold, he taketh away. Who can hinder him? Everybody can spit and fume, and they can gripe and complain about what God does, but who can hinder him? Nobody. Brother, because he's God. Who can hinder him? Who can say, what doest thou? Who's going to say, what are you doing, God? You know why they can't say that? Because they don't know what he's doing. Amen. They ain't smart enough to know what God's doing. Amen. Yeah, he does take away. And who can say? Who can hinder him? Who can stop his hand if he wants to do something? Why, what kind of God is that that do something like that? You know. Back over to Acts chapter number 5, verse number 6. And the young men arose, wound him up, carried him out. They buried him. Says nothing about a funeral. If there was one or anything like that, he's buried in the dirt here already. Verse number 7. And it was about the space of 3 hours later. 3 hours. Peter is still up there. He's still preaching. 3 hours later, his wife opens the back door if there was a building. And she comes in and she's smiling to everybody, you know, how y'all do? How y'all do? She makes her entrance. She comes in. She finds her seat and she's about to sit down. She's about to sit down, but before she sits down, Peter says something. Don't sit down yet. You might want to just stand. Don't sit down yet, Sapphira. Ananias and Sapphira. That's that couple that gave so sacrificially. Everybody's saying in their mind, oh yeah, we know them folks. Yeah, we know them. Amen. Verse number 7, about the space of 3 hours later, when his wife, not knowing what was done, 3 hours later, she hadn't heard about all this. They didn't send her. They didn't call her on the cell phone and say, get over here quickly. Something has happened to your husband, Ananias. Nope. Get out to the graveyard. They're going to bury your husband. Nope. You better get over here quickly. Your husband's sick. Nope. He's dead. Didn't do that. She does not know what has happened. She hasn't heard yet. She comes in. Everybody parts. She walks down the aisle. She's about to sit down. Don't sit down yet. Peter's preaching. He stops in the middle of his sermon. Stops in the middle of his sermon. Say, hold on just a minute. When his wife, not knowing what was done, came in, verse number 8, and Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, yes, for so much. Doesn't give the amount here, but maybe Peter knew the amount. What you said that you would give, whatever the amount was, did you sell the land for so much? She said, yes, we sold the land for so much, evidently for that much money. Then Peter said in verse number 9, this here is the apostle Peter, the prince of preachers, a fisherman, one that the Bible says was an unlearned and ignorant man, not learned in universities, but following Jesus for 3.5 years, one who got so scared, when he followed Jesus to the hall where the high priest and them were the night before Jesus was crucified, and they said, I believe that man there's one of them. And he said, no, it's not me. No, it's not me. I'm not. I'm not one of his followers. I don't even know the man. That man, who cursed and said, no, I don't know him. I don't know who he is. I'm not a Christian. I'm not one of his followers. That man there. But that man now is filled with the Spirit, and he's standing up there preaching. He stops in the middle of his sermon. Did you sell that land for so much? She said, yes, I did. For so much. Here's what he said, verse number 9. Peter said unto her, how is it? How is it that you have agreed together? Agreed together, both you and your husband. It's not around. How is it? Why did you agree together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Tempt the Spirit of the Lord, you know what that is? That's to provoke God. To provoke Him, to make Him angry. How is it that you've agreed together to do this thing? He's already told Peter, you've not lied unto men, but you lied to God. You've agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord. She's standing there again. She's standing there. She doesn't sit down. Big lump comes in her throat. She's thinking, what am I going to say? I wonder where my husband is. What am I going to say? Peter doesn't give her a chance to answer. He said, behold, here they come, by the way, right here. Here the men come. The young men that carried her husband out, they're coming. They're coming in the back. They're coming in the back there. He says, the young men that wound up your husband and took him out, they're going to carry you out next. She doesn't give a chance to answer. She falls down dead. Second one. Verse number 9. Peter said unto her, how is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door. They're at the door. They're coming in. And they shall carry thee out. Verse number 10. And she fell down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. Two times. Ghost. Her spirit left her body. Her breath, out, went up. Her soul leaves her body. Her body falls on the ground. Body, soul, and spirit. Verse number 10. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. The young men came in, found her dead, carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. They wound her out, carried her up. They said, okay, guys, get your shovels again. We've got to go out. We've got to bury another one. Verse number 11, and great fear came upon all the church and upon as many has heard these things. Let me read just down through verse number 16. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders done. Why? Because they're apostles and they have the signs. They have the power to do signs. All the church members weren't doing signs and wonders. The apostles were. At the end of the book of Acts, that's the end of the Acts of the Apostles. There are no more signs and wonders. There are no more signs and wonders. Verse number 12 again. By the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. See, now look, folks. This is the first church. First church. First church at Jerusalem. It is a powerful church. Verse number 13. And the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. Verse number 14, believers were the more added to the Lord. I could stop there for just a minute. They were added, listen carefully, to the Lord. Back over here in another place, they were added to the church, to the believers. But see here, the church and the Lord are equated together. They're added to the Lord. That's what happens when you get saved. You're added to the Lord. You're joined to the Lord in a real and a spiritual sense. You're joined to Jesus Christ just like this. The Bible says you're bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. Salvation. Salvation is not joining the church. Salvation is getting saved and being joined to the Lord, to Jesus Christ. They were added to the Lord. Multitudes, both of men and women, see. Thousands of them. Verse 15, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the street and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least thing that would happen, the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, they were healed, every one of them. All healed. No misfires. They didn't have to have a healing line. They didn't have to send in $16. They didn't have to send in $51, $57. They didn't have to sow any seed faith or anything like that. No. Why? Because the apostles were real apostles. They had the power. They had the power upon them. I'm going to quit in just a minute. Before I do, let me point out here three great sins that are presented right here in this story. Real quickly, three great sins that are mentioned in this story. Number one is the sin of deception. The sin of deception. Amen. The sin of deception is the devil's method of operation. In the Garden of Eden, y'all remember, Eve was deceived. The devil made something that was going to kill her look good. That is deception. Deception is still going on in our world today. The devil makes things good that will kill you look good. He makes things that will destroy your life look good. Beer will cause people to be alcoholics. Cigarettes will kill people. Alcohol and liquor will kill people. All of that kind of stuff, but it is presented as something that looks good. Gambling, I am against gambling 100%. All of that kind of stuff, but it's made to look good. That is deception. The devil is a deceiver. Bible says here, find my verse somewhere, Revelation 12 and 9, that the Satan deceives the whole world. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 7 says this, Be not deceived. It says that we will all reap what we sow. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that same thing will he reap. Sow good seeds, and you will eventually reap good things in your life. It can't help but come to pass. It takes a while because you know what the law of sowing and reaping says. You always reap the same thing you say that you do, the same thing as the seed that you sow. You always reap more than you sow, but you always reap later than you sow. So eventually good seed, good things will eventually come in your life. If God is putting you through a test, then stick it out. Amen. Stick it out. Don't run. Me, I've ran a lot of times, and I was stupid. I hope in my old age I get a little more smarts, you see. But stick it out, and good things will come from it. Good things come from Job's life because he sticks it out. He stays. God says, stand still. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. When they wanted to run from the Red Sea, God said, stand still. And he opened up the Red Sea. The sin of deception. Number two is the sin of hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. They tried to be something they were not. That was Ananias and Sapphira. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I probably have been a hypocrite. But it's better to be who you are, the way God made you to be. I've tried to be somebody else. I can't be somebody else. Matthew chapter 23, Jesus was, man, he was rough on the religious leaders. If you read Matthew chapter 23, you'll find him 7 times calling the religious leaders, the scribes and the Pharisees, he's calling them hypocrites. Scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, hypocrites, hypocrites. Amen. Don't be something, try not to be something you're not. You know, like what you see is what you get. The third sin, that's the second sin. The third sin is the sin of lying to the Holy Ghost. Lying to God. When God says do something, you know, and we lie about it and we make excuses to God as why we cannot do it. God, you know I can't do that. God, you know I've got to pay my cell phone bill. I've got to pay my cable bill or my satellite bill. God, you know I've got to do that. You know I can't do that. You see? God, you know I got to make these car payments I've got here. God, you know I got to, you see, we make all kinds of excuses as why we cannot do what God wants us to do. We hold out. We hold back on God, you see. God has blessed us in the United States of America and prospered us, and with prosperity comes great responsibility. Great responsibility that we will all stand before God, before the judgment seat of Christ. Let us not lie to God. Let us not lie to the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's pray.